Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Ramsden, and with me, as always, he's the Pontus Holmberg to my Zach Aston Reese. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
Pontus Holmberg.
Yeah, now I chose those two names because those are the two guys the Leafs have
put in
the lineup for tomorrow night's game. Zach Aston Reese obviously been in there most of the time. Pontus Holmberg making his NHL debut.
Well, because I know he played some preseason games.
That's right, and was kind of good-ish.
Yeah.
And apparently has been good on the Marlies, and the Leafs, as we'll obviously get to, I'm sure, have been terrible. So he gets a shot, not even on the fourth line either, on the third line, with Pierre Engvall and Kalle Järnkrok.
Well, and okay.
Can't help but notice that those are all Swedish guys.
Well, they're just trying stuff.
Stick all the Swedes together. Let's see what happens. Except
they're really just trying stuff at this point.
He really is just, yeah. So suppose we can talk about the fact that, you know, it appears that Sheldon Keefe is literally just floundering for his job at this point and desperately trying to make this team do anything because it's not been good.
Now, but you can tell me this because you know about more about this than me. Does the GM calls the players up, right?
Yes, but they would do that in together.
Okay,
that would be a decision made as a group, rather.
Okay, because I was going to say, is Dubas going, "Hey, I called up blank, put him in the lineup,"
or I don't think so.
Okay, because in my head, I'm like, oh, I wonder how they landed on him. And is it a group effort or is it a solo effort?
Now, we have had stuff like that happen before where the GM has called guys up and the coach has said, no, I'm good. Actually, Babcock used to do that.
Yes.
Not infrequently.
But that's what I was thinking.
But part of the reason that Mike Babcock is not here and Sheldon Keefe is that he and Kyle Dubas work together on these things. That was a big part of what Kyle Dubas said when he hired Keefe, is that he wanted someone who they would work as a group on these kind of decisions rather than he would do his part of his job and the coach would do his job, but they would be totally separate.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm sure that he's up because the Leafs all kind of want him to play, probably because everybody else has sucked.
I mean,
mostly everybody.
No. Yes. All of them.
There's a couple passes we can give out, but not very many.
And yes, and sure, I mean, in any team that is going bad, like is shitting the bed, you're going to give a couple passes out.
Yeah.
Like they can't all be crap.
Nope, they can't all be crap. Let's start with the nicest surprise of the year, which is that Ilya Samsonov has been very good.
Very good.
That is probably the only nice surprise. That's probably the only guy we thought might not be good who's been good. I think he's the only one.
Well, I mean, it sucks because it doesn't suck, but he was supposed to be the backup.
He was supposed to be the backup.
Everybody.
They talked about competition and whatever, and who knows how honest they were going to be. Who knows how honest they were being when they said that, but.
Well, but the funny thing is there was no competition because Murray played one game.
That's right. One game and then injured himself in practice. It was very Peter Mrazek of him, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, just like everybody's like, oh, what bad luck. And it's like, but I don't know. In my head, I'm like, this seems to be something that happens with him.
He's a guy who plays bad and gets injured, and he played bad and then got injured. I can't say either of those things was especially out of character.
Yeah, yeah.
Ilya Samsonov, on the other hand, 4 wins, 2 losses. He had gone 4 games undefeated to start his Toronto Maple Leafs career before finally losing to San Jose in overtime and then the Los Angeles Kings, I think. I'm trying to remember what games
he started. Yes, he lost against LA.
Oh, no, he lost to LA and Vegas.
And Vegas. The LA game, Ramsden, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. He has a .920 save percentage on the season. He's been really, honestly, fantastic.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's been out of control good,
dude. Like in the LA game, they should have been down 7-2.
Yeah,
by the end of it.
Eric Chalgren, on the other hand, has been real bad.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But I mean, like, that's expected, I guess.
Well, but he's also the third guy.
Yeah, he's the new Michael Hutchinson, and Michael Hutchinson was usually bad. So,
well, it was always, if we went to Michael Hutchinson, we knew we were in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's similar with Chalgren. I think because of last season and what he had, like, two good games.
Yeah.
People have a little bit more of a, I don't know, a hard on for him. So
I think it was just that, like, it's first impression.
Right.
But also, like, people think he's younger than he is. He's 26, which is not old, but is actually 1 year older than Ilya Samsonov.
That's such a good point. I think we have found money with Samsonov.
I think so too. And he is an RFA at the end of the season, which is really incredible because it means the Leafs can probably re-sign him.
Just sign him.
Yep. Probably sign him. Probably do him and Murray again.
No!
You have to.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Also, let's give, like, as much as I want to write the whole Matt Murray thing off, let's wait until he's coming back soon. He's practiced today. He'll be back soon. He has only played one game. And it was not great, but it also wasn't the worst game of hockey I've ever seen a goalie play.
Right, yeah. It's
he let in one really bad goal, I would say, but other than that, it wasn't terrible.
I didn't know he was coming back so soon.
Yeah, he'll be back. They said he practiced today, so he should be back, I don't know, a couple weeks.
Yeah, okay.
It's supposed to be mid-November. It was supposed to be mid-November. I think he's skating early, so it might be earlier than that. It might be early November. But not that he's going to come in and save this, because to be honest, even if Matt Murray comes in and plays really well, I'm not sure how different that'll be from how the Leafs are playing right now, which
exactly.
They currently have a goalie playing really well, and they are bad. So let's do the people who haven't been bad, because it's a much shorter list, and then we'll get to the people who have been bad. William Nylander has been good.
You think very good or good?
He has been as good as he normally is.
Okay.
And the rest of the Leafs have been much worse than they normally are. Same with John Tavares. They've kind of been the same as usual.
Yeah.
As opposed to much, much, much worse than usual. Which applies to, some of these guys will have to get in depth on, but Mitch Marner, terrible. Austin Matthews, terrible. Morgan Riley, really bad.
The Matthews thing hurts to say.
Yeah. It's probably the first time it's been true. Michael Bunting,
it was the playoffs. Pretty bad.
Michael Bunting, pretty bad. Alex Kerfoot, not great. David Kampf, kind of good, actually.
Yeah, he had, what was the one goal where he scored five hole? It was,
yeah, he has three goals.
He has three goals, okay.
Three goals. Nick Robertson, kind of good.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because everybody was like, oh, he's going to be on the team. Then he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put him on the team against his brother.
He played great.
Gets two goals. Won them the game, and everyone's like, oh my God, we got it.
And Sheldon Keefe was like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm actually just going to bench him and then take him out of the lineup. Because fuck it, I guess.
I'm like, I don't think he was the problem.
He was not the problem. Cali Yarncroc, okay, actually. It's been all right. Dennis Malkin, I mean, I don't know what to say about Dennis Malkin, really. I mean, I don't know what we were expecting. So.
He got two goals. He scored a nice goal against Anaheim. It wasn't bad.
He did, and he's... He also, like Nick Robertson, has barely played when he's been on the team. So
yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Maybe, and again, I don't know if this is the issue, but they keep switching guys out.
It like every game.
I'm like, can we just like even with the Jets game when they put Simmons and Clifford in, and everybody's like, oh, this is the move. I'm like, yeah, but then either keep them in the lineup.
Yeah.
Or don't keep switching them in and out, because I think you're not going to get a groove going, especially with the bottom two lines.
Brody, okay. Giordano, okay, I guess. The defense hasn't been terrible, I guess, except for, you know, a couple notable exceptions.
There's a few, right?
Pierre Engvall has been god-awful. Justin Hall, holy shit. I don't even...
Dude, Sandin, he should have just stayed in Sweden.
I don't actually know what's happening with Justin Hall, but he has been, like, possibly the worst player in the NHL. I can't even believe it.
But we knew this last year.
Clifford bad. Muzzin injured and possibly never coming back.
Gets a pass.
Wayne Simmons, he had a good game. So that was fun. We had the one good Wayne game. Asen Reese has not really done anything. Obe Kubel, not really done anything. Philip Kral played the other night and looked not like a total bag of shit, so that was cool. Victor Mete is kind of bad, to be honest. Kind of understanding why he couldn't make the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I think that was mostly bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, even like the LA game, Sandin was trash.
He was. He was really bad.
Like, I don't understand why some of these guys that they've put a lot of stock in are this bad.
Yeah. I would say that the worst players, though, it's just Matthews and Marner, really. Because if Matthews and Marner were playing great, it would cover up all of the rest of this stuff.
Okay. I don't know about the defense.
We just wouldn't notice it as much.
Yeah, I guess if they're outscoring teams 7-4.
It's not even that. Like, it's just when you look at, like, the team rankings for the NHL, it's the it's both. Like, it's both. They're not scoring, and they're letting in a lot of goals as well. Mm-hmm. But, like, their offense is absolutely terrible. Apart from the power play, which has been okay, I guess. But still not great.
No, there's some things to be desired there.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the other guy you have to look at, because this is obviously the big question, is if Sheldon Keefe can survive this, because it's going really bad.
And, well, okay, but do you think Dubas can survive this?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think they're gonna hang? Yeah,
probably. I mean, I thought the roster was gonna be good. Did you think that was gonna be good? That's all he can do.
Well, I mean, we had issues with Murray.
Yeah.
But I guess Samsonov.
But he got a goalie who was good.
Fair, I guess. Two,
and one of them was good. And then the rest of the team we thought was going to be really good.
I don't know. I guess the forwards get a pass in terms of the way that we thought it was going to play out. I guess the one piece I would say would be the defense.
Yeah, but last year it was the same guys and they were really good.
Were they really good, Ramsden?
They were really good.
Okay.
They were. I mean, they're really bad now, but they were really good. So
what do you think it is? What do you think it is?
You have to wonder what's different, right?
Do you think it's just early? Because I've been seeing a lot of that. I've been seeing a lot of, like, it's 10 games.
I've been seeing a lot of this, and this is true, that they did this last year. They had actually the exact same record last year.
I saw that, too. It's
literally
yeah.
identical in every possible way, yes. including some of the even more detailed stuff, like Austin Matthews only having 3 goals and all of it. Like, it's pretty much exactly the same as last year.
And even Marner said it. He was like, every time they try to, like, you know, like we were in the same spot last year and they were trying to swamp our heads or whatever the quote fucking was.
I don't know. Mitch Marner says a lot of stuff that I just don't pay attention to because I'm like, that is.
Well, you know what's weird is I was thinking about this today is last year there were still COVID shutdowns.
Yes, there was.
And that kind of fucked with us a little bit because.
But so this is part of the thing. Yeah. There was weird stuff like that. There was weird, like, there were reasons why that would be a difficult start to the season. Like, when people talk about the fact that last year Austin Matthews barely had any goals to start the year, and now again this year he does. Last year he had wrist surgery.
Yes, yes.
He was coming back from, like, a serious rehab and, like, didn't play. I think he played one preseason game.
Yep.
This year he was healthy. Yeah. Nothing wrong with him. No. Just playing like shit.
Yeah.
Like last year, Mitch Marner started the year slow. And then from what, January on, he was one of the best players in the entire NHL. But like, I don't know, what am I supposed to count on that happening again when you play like shit? I'm supposed to just be like, oh yeah, well, give it a couple weeks, I guess. Like, sorry, you passed the puck to the other team twice and we lost to Anaheim. But I guess you're going to be good in January. Like, no, I'm not giving you like, I can't just assume that things are going to work out because they did last year.
Well, it's hard when you're just, when you go, oh, I'll give them a pass. But the problem with the pass is how long does it last?
Yeah.
Like at what point?
Why?
Well, like, and that's the other thing is you won the heart.
Yeah.
Right. Like that. I'm sorry, but before, I mean, the standard was here. I'm sorry, it's up here now, man.
Yeah, you have to produce like that every year. And the same thing goes for Marner, too. It's both of them. And I almost actually feel kind of bad for Michael Bunting, who has not been nearly as good as he was last year, but who, like, I don't know how much of that was Michael Bunting last year, really. Like,
I don't think it was much. I think it was just...
Yeah, and so, like, when people are like, oh, Michael Bunting not really helping them out, I'm like, how much is he supposed to be helping? No, like, it's not him.
No,
he will look amazing if they look amazing.
And everybody's like, oh, Hyman's doing great in Edmonton. He's playing with McDavid and Draisaitl,
playing great,
who are playing fantastic.
And that's it.
I'm sorry, but the fact that they're like, oh, Bunting has found money, I'm like, I think you could put Ramston on the left wing.
Yeah.
In his sling.
Yeah.
You know, with his Anaheim Ducks jersey on. With his Anaheim Ducks shirt on. Those two make it happen. And when they're not making it happen, it's not like Bunting's going to go, I got this.
Exactly. Look out, boys. It's the Michael Bunting show tonight. His whole, like, he's been, his entire time he's been in the NHL, except for his weird 15 games or whatever with Arizona, he was a rookie last year. So his entire NHL career up to this point has basically been to forecheck and then bang in rebounds for Marner and Matthews. That's what he's good at, and that's all he's ever done, and that's all he's going to do. And so, like, if he gets them the puck and they do nothing with it, then he's going to look like shit. Or if he stands in front of the net trying to, like, battle with guys so he can bang in a rebound and then the shot never gets there so there's no rebound, he's going to look like shit.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, I can't even blame him for that.
No, no.
He's not, you know, he's not that good. No offense.
No, he's not. And
we knew that.
Well, yeah, I think last year when he was up for the Calder, it was like, again, he was against two guys on Detroit who were carrying the team.
And who are going to be future stars.
Versus a guy who's almost 26, almost our age.
He's 27.
Yeah, no, I just turned 28. Almost, like, basically our age.
Yeah.
And, just kind of getting fed pucks by two of the best players in the league.
Yeah. And he's not bad. Like, I had nothing against him. But, like, honestly, it's the same with, it's the same with the power play. It's the same with anything. It's crazy to take any responsibility off of Matthews and Marner.
Well, okay, but you know what's funny?
Give them any excuse.
You know what's funny is, like, and kind of go back to the Bunting thing. What is the power play unit, Ramston?
Nylander, Tavares, Marner, Matthews, Riley.
Exactly.
The one it's been for 2 years, I think.
Bunting's not on there.
He is not.
And it's not like they're going to put him on there to be like, he's going to be the thing that makes this thing click. He's just a guy that does what he needs to do on that line. And if the other two aren't doing what they do, which is pass the puck like crazy in weird spots and do spinorama shit, and the other guy who just snipes it, and if it doesn't go in, Bunting's there to tap it in. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like it's you could plug anyone in that does that same style.
I'll just say this because I have the stats right in front of me, so it's kind of a perfect example of what you're saying right now. Michael Bunting plays 16 minutes a night. Austin Matthews plays almost 22, and Mitch Marner plays almost 23. So that just tells you right there, right? Yeah. And a lot of that is power play, and some of that for Marner is also penalty kill. Yeah. But a lot of it is also that, like, they're just going to play more because they're going to go over the boards first, and they're going to come off last. And Bunting is taking short shifts. And sometimes they'll just throw Matthews out there with, like, Nylander and Tavares for, like, a shift just because fuck it. And overtime. They're not going to do that with Michael Bunting because they don't. That's not what he's there for.
Bunting's not playing overtime.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect.
Like, that game against Dallas where Robertson scored a goal.
Yep.
It was Matthews and Robertson.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't Bunting and Robertson.
I actually don't think I've ever seen him get a shift in overtime because it doesn't make any sense to have him out there in overtime. They play Kerfoot a lot in overtime. They never play Bunting.
Yeah, and I think that, like, he's not too fast.
Mm-hmm. He's not too skilled. He's not too skilled. And how many, like, rebounds and net front battles are there in fucking
overtime? It's not too inducive for 3-on-3.
Yeah. Yeah. But they put Robertson out there.
Yeah.
It's all Matthews and Marner, really, at the end of the day, and they've just been, so bad. And I just don't know what, at least Matthews has started scoring a couple more goals than he was, which was nice, because all he had before a couple days ago, I think he scored what, LA and Anaheim? Was it both?
No, he scored in San Jose.
Right, San Jose and Anaheim.
Yes.
Yeah. But before that, the only goal he had was that tip against Washington, and that puck would have gone in if he didn't tip it. So it was literally like a nothing goal.
I mean, that San Jose goal was a fucking dart.
It really was. That looked like the old Austin Matthews. That got me kind of excited that he was going to just be back. And he's had periods where he's looked like Austin Matthews. The third period against Arizona, he didn't score, but he looked like Austin Matthews. He was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it was one period against a terrible team. And then we didn't see it again.
No, you gotta have more than that. And I mean, it's funny because he said it in one of his post-game press conferences where he's like, we haven't done a full 60 minutes.
Yes. You and Mitch Marner specifically.
I'm like, it's a team thing.
Yeah.
You realize that means you, dude.
Yeah. 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 It's like, we'll get to Keefe later, but it's like Keefe said today, we're lucky that we have 10 points on the season. I'm like, yes. And you realize that reflects badly on you, right? Like,
I love going into work and being like, do you know what I did wrong yesterday? Yeah. Try to avoid that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You feel even worse when you say it by accident.
Exactly.
Man, the guys in my department really didn't do a great job. You're like, well.
You know, my team, they're real slow today. Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Shut up and coach. Stop talking.
Not great. Yeah, I don't even know what to make of Matthews. Matthews is playing like, this is weird to say because Marner has just been bad.
Yeah.
And then Matthews is playing like, you know how Marner sometimes when he's bad gets like in his own head and tries like too hard?
Yes.
Matthews is playing like that.
Well, we saw
that. Which is weird. Why does he, like, he started doing this thing where he like skates to the blue line and then takes slap shots from like 100 feet away?
Right. And you know what's funny is that worked in San Jose.
It worked one time.
No. But I, you're right. But
he has launched like 30 of them.
Yes. I think he's like just trying shit. Yeah.
He's in his head, man. He kept spinning in San Jose. He was like spinning over and over again. And like one time it set up Marner for a really nice chance. And then he did it like three more times and he lost the puck every time. He's just like, he's playing crazy. He's taking penalties. Two in one game for the first time in his career.
Not my analysis, but someone else's.
not mine either, but a true statistic.
Very true statistic. No, you're right. And it's
he has six penalty minutes in the year already. I think was it his first season? He had eight the whole year.
Yeah, I think so. No, I think he's getting frustrated.
Yeah, he's shooting 6%, which is dramatically up from where it was like a week ago. But for Austin Matthews, I mean, really, truly terrible. And part of that is that he's just ripping pucks from 30 feet away.
That means he's going to have to go on like a bender.
Yeah, which, I mean, let's not rule that out.
Well, no, but it's like, and you know what's funny is, and I know this might not be fair, but first game of the season.
Yes.
McDavid.
Yes.
Three goals.
He's leading the league.
No. I mean, like, the first game of the season.
No, yeah. And he's been leading it ever since. Hasn't looked back.
First game of the season, Matthews? Nothing.
Looked pretty bad, yeah. They had a bad night. That first line had a bad night. And to be honest, like, this Leafs thing has gotten worse. Like, they have really spiraled. Because that game against Montreal, I mean, they lost. But it was kind of fluky and weird. And they definitely weren't, like, worse than Montreal. They just didn't win.
No, and I think a lot of us were like, okay, we can recover.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I think this is true. If you'll just go with me on this. Like, I think this is definitely absolutely true, okay? The Kerfoot goal versus Arizona, that did not count. The hand pass, the debatable hand pass one that would have tied the game and sent it to overtime. Riley. Right. The Kerfoot goal, though, right? Yeah, the Riley hand pass.
Right.
If that goal counts, they would have won that game.
Agreed.
The Montreal game to start the year. If Matt Murray injures himself in practice like 2 days earlier, Samsonov starts that game and they probably win that one too.
Debatable, right? Because I thought they had similar games. Like, I thought Samsonov, when he played the next game, had a similar game.
Yeah, that's fair. That was probably his worst game actually against
us. Yeah, so I thought I think that, sure, I get where you're going
that's
with
fair,
that.
But just go with me on that. If those two things had happened, which totally could have happened, the Leafs would have started the season 6-0.
I know, but...
So that's the thing. It's no. So I'm saying the part where they've actually been bad, like actually bad, has been like the last week and a bit. It has not been the whole year. We kind of look at it as the whole year. But it was actually like, it's just since Winnipeg.
Yeah.
It's the Vegas game, Dallas, which they sucked against Vegas really bad. It's been this whole West Coast trip.
I know, but that's just, you know.
They sucked against Vegas. They sucked against the Sharks. They sucked against the Kings. They really sucked against the Ducks. That's four straight losses, all of which they played really bad in. Before that, they were 4-2, and one of their losses was that kind of fluky one against Phoenix.
Right. Yeah, I guess I get what you're saying, but I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of if fans are butts. Like if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. Like it's different.
Yeah. Okay, but like I think I don't really care, to be honest. Like, this seems weird, but I care more about if the Leafs are playing well than if they're winning.
Yes. No, and of course you would.
So I'm more worried about the fact that they have sucked for the last like week or so than the fact that they've lost these games. When they lost the Arizona game, I was like, okay, that was kind of dumb, but whatever. When they lost to Montreal, even, I was like, that I would have really liked if they won that, but it doesn't actually matter. They looked okay.
Yeah.
I was mostly just worried about Matt Murray, to be honest. I was like, fuck me, we got this guy for the league. That was my worry after Montreal.
Turns out you'd never had to worry about that again.
It was a very stupid worry to have, yeah. But now I'm worried about the fact that they've played like absolute dog shit in four straight games.
Yes. I still remember when it was last year, it was like a Saturday night or game, and the Sportsnet or the CBC broadcast had Brian Burke on as like an interview. And they were talking about how's the team doing? And, you know, Brian Burke's giving his answers and he goes, you know what I hate? We're wasting, because I think they were like losing. They were having like a 4 or 5 game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
And Berkey goes, I hate that we've got goaltending and we're wasting it.
That's a great thing to say.
And I'm starting to feel that way a little bit with Samsonov, because I'm like, when you told me 920, I wanted to shit.
Yeah.
I wanted to shit in my pants, because I know he was doing well.
Yeah.
But we're still losing 4 goals. You know, 4 goals against, 5 goals against. It's not a good look. So you don't really check the save percentage when they're losing that much.
You saying that, though, did make me feel a little bit better, And I'll tell you, like, because I had actually forgotten how good Jack Campbell was, and they were still losing games at the beginning of last year. I actually remember they played a game in Vegas where they won, and Austin Matthews finally scored after he hadn't scored, like, all year. He finally scored. And I remember thinking, holy shit, like, Jack Campbell is the only reason that they were even remotely in that game. And I had totally forgotten that because it was so long ago.
Well, yeah, no, and I think that's just the way it is. It's you know, there's going to be stretches where the goalie's doing well, but we're not winning games, and there's going to be stretches where the goalie's not doing well and we're losing games, or we're winning games.
Yeah.
But
hopefully. I mean,
well, exactly. You hope. It just kind of sucks right now because we're 10 games in, and you would much rather be, I don't know, like 7-whatever than 5-4. Or what are we, 5-4? 5-4-1?
4-4-2.
4-4-2. Shit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah. No, and I mean, there's plenty to be mad at. I mean, we've mostly just touched on Matthews and Marner, who are, honestly, because that's the most important thing that's happening. And I'm sure we'll get to Sheldon Keefe when we're done with it all. But, yeah, a lot of bad. I mean, I really... Jake Muzzin was not great before he got injured, but I think he's now proven why we still needed Jake Muzzin in spite of the fact that it's been much worse.
Well, if he doesn't play anymore, which has been talked about,
mm-hmm.
if like he's completely done, you need to go out and get someone similar.
You do. Yeah.
Because you got no one in the organization like that. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, you can't replace him with someone less Muzzin-y.
No, you can't. And the problem is that there aren't that many.
I know. Jake Muzzins. Here's the thing, man. At this point, and I know you love the 2023 draft, just ship it out. Give him the first.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone has to be willing to give that guy up, though, right?
Fair.
Like, there aren't a lot. The thing is, like, you need to find a guy like Jake Muzzin who's on a bad team. And that is pretty rare.
I know.
Because you think about, like, those kind of players win hockey games. They're not generally on losing teams. The only reason Jake Muzzin was on a losing team is because they'd already won 2 cups and were on the downswing.
That's such a good point. He had his cups. He was like, I'm good.
Yeah. So it's a big problem because even with Jake Muzzin not looking great, the problem with Jake Muzzin was that, like, as it was the year before, was he's no longer good enough to carry Justin Hall. It's not that he's now bad. And we saw it in the playoffs against Tampa Bay when he got paired with TJ Brody, and they were a legitimately great shutdown pair against one of the best teams in the NHL for all 7 games. He was fantastic. And I'm sure they were thinking, let's do the Hall thing. But then, you know, we know when the playoffs come around, we can go back to Muzzin Brody. But you can't if he's not coming back. And honestly, at this point, I'm not sure you make it if you don't do it something soon.
No, you're right. I mean, and everybody's like, what's the move?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's hard to see one, honestly.
It really is.
Which might end up being a problem for one Mr. Sheldon Keefe. But we'll have to talk about that after the break.
Okay, sorry, that was a teaser.
And I'm going to cut out that whole discussion we just had about Kanye West and Kyrie Irving.
I think it was very...
educational.
That's the word. I was going to say progressive, but that's wrong.
I'm not sure it was.
Definitely educational, though.
I'm not sure that there is a good way to talk about that, to be perfectly honest. So let's just move on to another thing I don't want to talk about, which is goddamn Sheldon Keefe.
So what do we do? Fire him? Is that an option?
Is he trying to get fired? Is that what's happening?
Part of me thinks he's sick of it.
Like,
if I was him, I'd be sick of it. Just can me, fire me, let me leave. I don't want to be here anymore.
That thing he did the other day with where he brought the whole team out for warmups. Yeah, that is the weirdest, dumbest shit I have ever seen a coach do in the history. Like, I don't know if they hate him. I know the rumors are that they hate him. I don't know if they hate him. But if I was going to hate a coach, it would be because he did something like make me put all my gear on and then fly all the way to San Jose wearing my hockey equipment and warm up and then not play.
And then not play. Yeah.
That's the thing that would make me hate a coach.
I think it's similar to Dubas, but in a coaching way where he's just throwing shit at the wall.
This is getting crazy though. And he's always kind of done that. Like, it's always kind of been his thing where he'll just like mix up random shit just to see what happens.
But I think he's like, ridiculous. I think he's in panic mode.
He also seems terrified of Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews.
Well, because let's be honest, it's not like LeBron James because it's not the same thing.
Right.
But you know that Matthews and probably Marner are going to be here longer than Sheldon Keefe and Dubas.
Yes, probably.
Probably.
Assuming they choose to be, but yes.
Assuming, but like the way
it's
they
up
make
to them. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not up to anyone else. It's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
So if Matthews goes, all right, I'll sign here for another 8 years. Guess what? He's running the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Dubas is going to be gone probably next year, and so will Keefe, and Matthews will still be here. So you know what they're trying to do? You know what Shanahan probably said to Dubas and Keefe? They're like, don't piss Matthews off.
Yeah, probably.
We need to sign him. You keep him happy.
Which I kind of agree with, but also, like, I think what the reason most coaches don't cave this hard is that they kind of realize that, like, if you can't coach your best players, then you're gonna get fired anyway. So you might as well get fired because you coached them and they hate you, rather than get fired because you couldn't coach them.
I understand that we all hate Babcock.
Yeah,
and
he coached them.
I get that we didn't make it past the first round with him, but guess what? We still haven't done it without him.
Yeah, we've actually lost to worse teams.
We've actually. Exactly. But you know what? I felt like he was, and I think Garrett Joyce was on the podcast with us, or he told me when we were at a bar once, but Babcock was kind of doing it with his ego.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, he cares about what people think about him, not about the rest of the people.
Yes.
But I'll be honest. If you're a player, that's kind of nice.
It worked to an extent, for sure. And it worked in a bit of a different way to this, where, like, if these guys really, I don't know if they really don't like Keefe or whatever, and Mitch Marner denied today the whole thing, which,
yes, you
know,
it would be weird if he would either way.
So it doesn't mean anything.
What are you going to do? Come out and be like, fuck the guy?
Yeah.
Like, that's
we'll
not...
find out whether they like him or not after he gets fired, because that's the only time you ever find out if they actually like a coach or not, is after the coach get fired.
And not even by what they say, but how they play. If they play better.
Yeah.
Like, but they might not come out afterwards and be like, oh, we didn't like him. They might just play way better. They did it with Babcock. Fucking did it with Babcock.
Yeah. And I mean, this though, like, if you can't, like, what he said against Arizona was true and not that big a deal. And he had to, like, apologize.
Yeah.
To Matthews and Marner. And then he's changed every single line on this team like 6 or 7 times. And the first line has been Matthews and Marner the whole time. It's been Matthews, Marner, bunting most of the time, but he's taken bunting off that first line like 3 times already.
No, I agree. It was Kerfoot.
It was Kerfoot. It was
Robertson. It was
Yarncroc for a bit. He's tried everybody there.
Yep.
And I mean, the rest of the lineup, we just talked about it. It's an absolute shit show. Like, there's guys who don't come out of the lineup because they're too good, like Kerfoot, Tavares, Nylander, Bunting, Yarncroc, Kampf. Those guys aren't in and out, but everyone else is in and out. And those guys have never played with, like, the same guys two games in a row, I think. They've been mixing it up so much. And it doesn't even seem to matter, like, how you play. Because Nick Robertson is healthy scratched, and he played, like, 6 minutes last game. And Pierre Engvall has been fucking dog shit, and I don't think he's missed a game.
Yeah. I think he was – wasn't he injured at the start? I could be wrong.
Engvall was injured at the start. But, I mean, okay. Healthy scratch for a game.
Eligible, yeah.
He hasn't missed a game due to coach's decision for the entire year.
Yeah.
Actually, he only missed one game, too.
He did only miss – he missed the first game?
Missed one game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah. Nick Robertson back out. Obey Kubel out now for the next game, which, like, I mean, okay, fine, whatever. But, like, why don't you just, like, let some of these guys play? What's going on here?
Well, but it's also weird, like – I don't know. It's like, for some reason we were like, oh, it's going to go well with Kubel and Aston Reese. We kind of all had them penciled in the lineup.
It should be, though. Like, right. These are guys who have never been bad players in their entire NHL career.
Zach Aston Reese was pretty really great good. In Pittsburgh.
Really good.
So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's something with the structure of the way they're playing.
So that is part of it. There is part. That is absolutely.
That is it. Okay.
Yeah.
You're smarter than me. So
particularly for those guys, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But, and we can talk about that too, but like now, at least at the beginning of the year, the lineup construction kind of made sense. Like it was logical. It was like, okay, here's our first line guys. Okay, here's our second line guys, which at the time was Malkin, Tavares, Nylander, and then Robertson. You know what I mean? Like they were, it made sense. And they had a and then they had a weird third line thing, like all those guys, and then they had like the obvious fourth line, and like it all made sense. Now they have Zach Aston Reese, David Kampf, Dennis Malkin tomorrow. What is that?
Yeah, no, but like
Engvall, Holmberg, Yarncroke. Like I joked that that was because they were all Swedish, but like actually, what's the point of that line?
I'll be honest. I think you're right. I think they're really just going
literally just that they're Swedish. Like that's the weirdest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think
What is the point of Dennis Malkin on the fourth line? Like Malgin's not playing with good players, he's useless. So why is he on the fourth line? If he's in the lineup, he should be playing with someone good. Or bench him. Yeah. Which you already did.
Put who's the 6'8 guy from the Marlies?
Yeah, Curtis Douglas.
Put Curtis Douglas in. If you're gonna put Dennis Malkin on the fourth line,
it just doesn't make any sense. Like so last game, Keith created a line. Which I was calling before the game started. I wish I had told you this joke, but I was calling it before the game started. The line of guys Sheldon Keefe hates.
Yeah.
It was Nick Robertson, William Nylander, and Dennis Malkin. And Sheldon Keefe played them like 6 minutes. Why would you make a line that you don't want to play? You got to choose the line.
Wow, or Dubas has got some hand in there. Or, hey, and I mean, we saw this. I mean, it was like they tried every once in a while. Stop putting Nylander at center.
Stop doing that too. It's dumb. Stop doing it. It's fucking stupid.
It doesn't fucking work.
Play him with John Tavares or play him with Austin Matthews. Honestly, please play him with Austin Matthews. Can we just try that? Can we just do that?
Stop putting him at center.
Stop putting him at center. Stop. You know the main reason why I hate when they play him at center? It's not because he can't do it. It's because when he plays at center, it's just an excuse for Sheldon Keefe to not play William Nylander. That's literally why he does it.
6 minutes?
He's like, we're just spreading out the lineup. It's like, no, you're playing the top two lines and though not the William Nylander line, which means you're also not playing Nick Robertson. I mean, also Dennis Malkin, but I don't really care about that. But you're also not playing Nick Robertson. Why are you not playing Nick Robertson? He came in, you played him, he was great. The next couple games, he was still pretty good. And then you're like, nah, fuck him.
I'll be honest. I mean, the more and more we break it, I think we're done.
It just doesn't make any sense. And then, like, I think we've talked about the way that the Leafs system works a lot. And it's hard to do this without drawing, which drives me insane because podcast format, I can't draw. But like, the leaf system basically only works if you have five skilled players on the ice at the same time with puck possession in the other team's zone who can maintain that through good cycling and smart plays. Basically, which is why the Leafs always draft and try to acquire guys who are intelligent hockey players, right? It's why even when they get things wrong, it's for that reason. It's because they wanted a guy like Dennis Mulligan and not a guy like Mason Marchman and didn't realize that Mason, right?
Right.
And it goes the other way when they make good decisions too.
Yeah, but
that's what it is in general. It's them wanting that type of player who makes those kind of decisions. And that works really well for Bunting, Matthews, Marner. Because Matthews and Marner are absolutely insanely good at that. And they spend most of their time playing with Morgan Rielly, who was also incredibly good at it. And so when you put those three guys on the ice, they can do that basically the whole time. Michael Bunting can battle for pucks. And it's a success.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of works for John Tavares and William Nylander and Alex Kerfoot. Kind of. It works a little bit less. Because they'll give the puck away more often, which leads to more breaks the other way. But in general, they play really well, and they're good at it. It doesn't work for Pierre Engvall. It doesn't work for Zach Aston-Reese. It doesn't work for Nicholas Obey-Kubel. So why do they play the same system as the top guys? Why do you have this idea that the entire team has to play the same?
Why is there a blanket
when these system? Guys don't play yeah. with the same guys? Like, if Obey-Kubel is on the first line, which would only happen if you put him there, but if that were to happen, then yeah, you'd want him to play with Matthews and Marner inside that system. But why would you ask a line of Zach Aston-Reese, David Kampf, and Nicholas Obey-Kubel to play like Bunting, Matthews, and Marner? It doesn't make any sense. And the biggest issue, and I actually have a lot of sympathy for Justin Hall, in spite of how bad he's been, because he's been getting clowned on like crazy. And a lot of this stuff, I'm not even sure how much of it is his fault. Like, do you want, when Justin Hall like has to play super wide mm-hmm. in the offensive zone, if the puck gets turned over, he's not fast. He's going to get burned going back the other way. Don't make him play wide in the offensive zone. But he has to, because everyone has to play the same way, because that's how Sheldon Keefe coaches them to play.
Yeah, it's less about strengths and more about a blanket system.
Yeah. And so, like, it works. I mean, we've won a lot of games with Sheldon Keefe, right?
But that's it only whatever, works. But that's where everybody keeps bringing up is the fact that his record is what, like 120 to 60. It's like, yeah, of course, it's a good team. And when they're rolling, you're going to get a lot of wins out of them.
He is one of, and I'll say this because I've seen it all over the place, he's one of very, very few coaches to have a 600 record in their first few seasons as a head coach.
What's a 600? Is that
like, you know how 500 is like yeah, that even? 600 is. Yeah, you win 60% of your games. Mm. Almost no rookie coaches do that. Now, the reason almost no rookie coaches do that is almost no one gets to coach a elite Stanley Cup contending team in their first job. Sure. Right? Yeah. The Leafs record under Mike Babcock was worse than that, but that's because he also had to coach the tanking season. If you take that away and you just take the seasons where the Leafs were good under Mike Babcock, it's not really that different.
Really
and we know that the roster has improved over that time because in general, Kyle Dubas has done a pretty good job. So.
And everybody's like, Dubas would never fire Keith.
Now that might be true.
And I think you're right. I think that might be true, but at a certain point, if you're Shanahan or somebody's got to step in and go, we can't keep, you know, doing the same shit over and over again.
I think you can keep Sheldon Keefe as a coach if he makes some concessions to the way hockey is normally played outside of his system.
Right, but who is going to make that request?
Well, that's the thing. It has to be Kyle Dubas, which it hasn't been, or it has to be somebody above Kyle Dubas, which is Brendan Shanahan, which it also hasn't been. So the question you come back to is, like, do those guys think that this is a problem? Because my other issue with Sheldon Keefe's system, I have two. The first is that everybody has to play the same way. The second thing I think burns them a lot, teams do a lot better against the Leafs the more they see the Leafs system. They start getting used to it, and there's a very easy way to beat it, and it's part of why the Leafs lose to really bad teams. Yeah. And it works. It's basically like you just give them the outside, and they'll cycle forever, and they won't get a lot of good chances. And then when you turn the puck over, you attack on the rush because the Leafs can't defend the rush at all. And that's why they lose to teams who are bad and attack off the rush, like Columbus, like Montreal. I could keep going. Edmonton, to be honest, did it perfectly in the Canadian division a couple times, in spite of the fact that they suck and the Leafs also beat them a bunch.
Well, but they don't suck anymore.
But it doesn't matter, really. Like, the point is just, like, what happens is teams figure this out, right?
Yes.
And so if you play them seven times in a row, they start figuring it out better and better and better and better. And if you look at a lot of the stats from the Tampa Bay Lightning series, the Leafs, like, expected goals and control of the game dropped as the series went on, right? The games got closer and closer and closer. And I know game six, they were really good and probably should have won. But game five, they also hung on by the skin of their teeth. And game seven was pretty even. And at the beginning of the series, the games weren't that even. The Leafs stomped them. And then game two was closer than the score made it look. Like, the Leafs were the better team at the beginning. And then by the end of it, it was even, and Tampa ended up winning. The series before that, Montreal, I mean, I don't even need to say anything. They were up 3-1. They were killing them. The only game they lost was because John Tavares almost died during the first period, and then landslide. Yep. The Columbus series was pretty even through the first two games. They lost game three. Game four, they had to score three goals in like a minute to win it. And then game five, they got nothing going and they lost.
Yeah. Didn't they get shut out that game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because John Tortorella went, oh, I know how we can do this. And then the next year, well, actually, I don't think Dominic Ducharme actually figured it out. I think that's actually just how Montreal naturally played, which kind of caused a problem. They're naturally a team who attacks off the rush anyway, so it was kind of like bad matchup generally. And Tampa Bay, John Cooper absolutely figured it out as the series went on. And so, like, how many times is this going to keep happening?
No.
And now it's not even working in the regular season.
Well, it's tough because everybody's like, oh, it can't be on. It's out. Being outcoached is, like, it's only a small part of it.
It is.
But yeah. I don't know, man. With a team with this much talent,
They shouldn't be getting outcoached.
You shouldn't be getting outcoached.
I totally agree that, like, it's true.
No.
Like, we just talked about Matthews and Marner for 20 minutes, and it's mostly their fault. And to be honest, the Montreal series was also mostly their fault. And the Columbus series was not so much Matthews, but Marner was really bad. Like, you know, it is their fault, and we'll put that on them all day. But the thing is, they're elite players, and we have no reason to think that Sheldon Keefe is an elite coach. So if we're going to change one of those things, probably shouldn't be Austin Matthews.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Is Barry Trotz still available?
Yes. Now, is Barry Trotz?
No, he's not the coach because the defense thing. I understand that he might not be good enough.
He is good enough.
No, sorry. He might not be the right choice for the team.
Is he the right coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Right? I mean, maybe. He could be. Who knows? I wouldn't have thought he was the right coach for the Washington Capitals when they won the Cup.
Well, I think Ovi won a Richard with him
as
a coach.
It's not like he went full defense. He only did that with the Islanders because he literally had no choice.
Yeah, I think
he had no one who could score.
Wow, but you know, it's funny is he might have to do the same thing with the Leafs because he's like, oh, our defense sucks.
Yeah, right. But like, honestly, I'm not sure they do. And I feel like in like Justin Hall is actually good on the penalty kill. I don't even think it's debatable. He's actually a good penalty killer. Okay. And he's good at defending in his own zone. He can't defend off the rush. He can't make a pass to save his life. And he's useless in the offensive zone. And the problem for him is that those are the three most important things about being a defenseman for the Leafs. Because those are the things you're doing most of the time.
So you've got four defense.
Yeah.
Right? That's it.
What do you mean?
I mean, you got Riley, yep. Brody,
yeah.
Giordano, Hall.
Sandin Liljegren.
Sandin sucks.
Sandin is really good.
No, I mean like he's been bad.
Yeah, for sure. So is Justin Hall.
No, but in your I don't know, like I thought and you have described it properly as like Hall hasn't been terrible.
No, he has been terrible, but like I'm just saying like it I don't No.
You don't think it's all his fault?
I don't think Hall is in a position to succeed.
Right, but what position is that?
On a team where the things he does well come into play more often, the thing he does badly come into play less.
So is that coaching or is that just overall team?
I mean, like, this is the thing, right? Like, I don't actually think Sheldon Keefe is a bad coach. I just think he has issues with forcing his overall philosophy on every single person who plays for him, regardless of whether or not it makes any sense. I think there are teams where Justin Hall would look really good. I think those teams are mostly bad. I think Justin Hall would look awesome on the Montreal Canadiens, right?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like
a team that spends most of their time defending in their own end zone.
Right.
He'd look awesome because he's good.
It's kind of like Lyubushkin. I mean,
it's exactly like Lyubushkin.
He's looking pretty good in Buffalo right now.
Well, he just got healthied, but yes.
He got healthied?
Yeah. Their big blowout of Detroit, he didn't even play.
I don't pay attention.
It is kind of funny, yeah, seeing everyone be like, oh, well, we really miss Lyubushkin. It's like, I don't know, Buffalo doesn't even miss
Lyubushkin. Gave him a fucking healthy scratch. Fuck me.
Tage Thompson just had like 30 points in one game.
And Lyubushkin's sitting on the fucking press box. Okay, never mind.
Eating popcorn, watching the Tage Thompson show. Honestly, maybe, good show to watch.
I was going to say, I wouldn't hate that show. Okay, well, so, I mean, because it does feel like they went from really experienced Babcock, you know,
yeah,
fucking
dickhead.
No, but like years in the league, lots of experience.
Experienced, proven coach who's kind of an asshole to inexperienced rookie literally, coach who's scared of his best players.
Which, I mean, I don't like. I think they liked that at first.
I think they did too.
And I think it's, I don't know, it's like it might be a cliche, but it's like we're watching it unravel. And yeah, we're watching the cliche of like this young guy who came in and everybody's like, oh, I love this guy. He's great. Yeah. But you're like, yeah, but sometimes you shouldn't like your boss.
Yeah.
Right? Like I know that's, and you know, everybody's like, no, you should like your boss. And it's nice to like your boss. And it's great when we all get along, but it's like, sometimes your boss needs to stick their fucking boot up your ass and go, hey, figure it out.
You're totally right. And the best coaches can do both of those things.
That exactly.
And I thought Babcock could do both. Apparently couldn't. Or at least didn't.
No, I think he could. I think he went too far the other way.
He either couldn't or didn't.
Or didn't.
Like, whichever one of the two it is. And Sheldon Keefe, I'm not sure, can do the second one.
You know who I miss.
And I'm not even sure if it's his fault or if they just won't listen to him.
You know who I miss.
Are you going to say Pat Quinn?
How did you know?
Because that's why we're best friends, buddy.
That's so weird. How did you know that?
Can read your mind.
That was weird. Oh,
R.I.P., man.
I know, but like that's
if he wasn't dead, I would say we should bring him back.
Oh, man. I love just chewing his gum.
He was the man. He was great.
Oh man, that's weird that you knew that.
I that is weird.
That's really weird. You want to make out?
R.I.P.
Well, but okay. I don't know who to bring in. I don't know how to fix this.
Neither do I. That's the problem, right?
And you're right about, and everybody keeps saying it, and maybe we're wrong, and we're going to go on a 10-0 streak for the next, because it's funny. So
literally happened last year.
I know. The Leafs Instagram or their Twitter put out a screenshot of their the November calendar.
It's tough.
Tough looking sketch.
It is. So, I would say by the end of November, we'll know exactly where.
If they just dog it for the rest of November, I think we're going to be coming back here and we're going to be going blow it up.
Yeah. I think they're bad for the rest of November. I think that might just happen.
Right. No, but that's what I'm saying is like at that point, you're like new coach.
So not only is this a tough schedule, right? But they play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 games in November.
I know.
They play 15 games next month. A lot of them are against good teams. And if they don't win like at least 8 of them.
What is there, 2 back-to-backs? There's 2 back-to-backs.
Yeah.
It's going to be a busy month.
Oh yeah, they're playing like every 2 days and they have some back-to-backs.
Well, everybody was like, "Oh, our first month is a shit schedule." I'm like, "November is way worse."
Oh my god, yeah. So, we'll know.
We'll get a good idea. Right.
We're going to know.
No, I agree, and I don't know, it's like one of those things where it's like I'm seeing trade proposals and again, sometimes you're like, is this a joke? I saw one person was like, Marner for Kaprizov. I'm like, I guess.
Sure. Why not? Fuck it.
Fuck it at this point.
I think Minnesota would be like, nah, we're good, actually.
I like NHL 23 as well.
that's a great way to put it.
I haven't bought it yet.
And some straight up video game shit.
Have you bought it yet?
I have not. No. What I was just going to say is... Wow, is there 3 back-to-backs? Holy shit.
No, I thought
there's 3 back-to-backs in November.
Get your face out of here.
There's 3. There's one this weekend. One this weekend, the 11th and 12th. And then
5 and
the,
6.
25th, 11, 12, 26th.
And 25. Oh, you're right.
There's 3 back-to-backs.
They put this
out. The little calendar. It is adorable.
It's adorable.
So I'm going to say this right now, too. Well, and this is perfect because you're looking at the calendar. This is why I was saying they better win tomorrow night in Philadelphia. Because their next four games, and actually I'm going to even include the fifth one. Their next 5 games are Boston, who might be the best team in the entire league. Carolina, who's one of the best teams in the league.
Not an EDW.
Vegas, one of the best teams in the league. Pittsburgh, always a problem. And then Vancouver, who should be the easy game, but they're on the second half of the back-to-back.
And then Pittsburgh again.
And then Pittsburgh again, yeah. But I mean... Honestly, the way the Leafs are playing right now, they're going to win what, one of those games?
I can't wait for Tage Thompson to put up 6 points against a fucking.
Actually, you know what's probably going to happen is the Leafs are going to win all of. They're going to lose to Philly, win all of these hard games, and then they're going to get curb stomped by Buffalo.
And then fucking
that curbs. Would be the most Leafs.
And then the Detroit and San Jose at the end of the month just fucking blowouts.
The most Leafs thing that could possibly happen, but yeah, I mean. Look, and I'm sure Sheldon Keefe knows this too. This has to turn around immediately.
How much you want to bet McKayev gets a hat trick on the 12th? Is he hurt or is he still back? Is he back now?
He's back. He scored 2 goals the other night.
Right, he did score. I saw that. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good for him.
I'm happy for him. They're nothing against the Cobra. I do laugh when I see people, because now, you know, now the Leafs are doing badly. Everything's a mistake, right? And people are like, oh, we lost Lepushkin and McKayev. And it's like, I don't know, like, do you guys actually remember, do you guys remember anything about them?
No.
Like, they're like, oh, we let Hyman go. I'm like, yeah, that one actually, you know, I would like Hyman back. But you guys can keep fucking McKayev and Lepushkin and...
Well, and even the people that go further back, where it's like Kadri, I'm like, dude, he got suspended twice, and then a third time with a different team.
Yeah, dude, and if he got suspended last year, remember when he ran Binnington and injured him for the playoff series? If he got suspended for that, like, are we like, oh man, I really miss Kadri?
I think it's because he won a cup.
It's 100% because he won a cup, but like, he almost got suspended even then. And I loved Kadri, but like, Jesus Christ. I feel like people do forget that he then got suspended on Colorado.
No, I know. Which is so
like
weird.
We remember, but I think most people don't remember.
Yeah.
No, it's a shit show right now.
And, hell of a time to be alive, Ramston.
I'm gonna have to take another break, and then I guess we'll come back and just close this out. I don't know that there's a ton left to talk about, but we'll try and find something more interesting and less depressing. And let's talk about a couple things. So real quick, let's do the Tage Thompson thing. Tage Thompson had 3 points until the start of this week, and then now he has 9 points in his last two games.
He's not leading the league in points, is he?
He's not, no. But he is literally the most on-fire player that I think I've ever seen over two games.
Well, everybody was like, why'd they give him the money?
That's true, yeah. And also, yeah, but in fairness to everybody, that looked like a good question before like Monday.
No, he changed it in one day.
He literally did. He now has 6 goals, 6 assists, and 12 points in 9 games. Before that, he had
that's crazy.
What was it, like 3 assists in 9 games? Again, 1 goal, 2 assists in 9 games.
Yeah,
and then he scored 5 goals. He is something else. Big boy, really play.
Big boy.
Nice hands.
I mean, Buffalo seems to be killing it.
I'll tell you right now, if you want to know like who could actually solve all of the Leafs' problems right now.
Tage Thompson.
Not Tage Thompson.
Ilya Labushkin. Craig Anderson.
It's definitely Ilya Labushkin. If only because I'd enjoy games a lot more if I get to yell "boosh" at the TV every time he smokes somebody. But the actual player is Owen Power. Owen Power would fit seamlessly into Sheldon Keefe's system and would immediately solve every single problem that we had.
I really like Owen Power.
I would also take Miro Heiskanen. Yeah, I see a lot of people getting super hyped about Dahlin because he scored like a million goals.
I was going to ask about him.
Which is also super cool, and I'm really happy because I really like Dahlin, and then everyone was like, oh, he's a bust, and I was like, yeah, I still like him. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
I didn't see this coming, but, you know, it's pretty cool. But I love Owen Power. I think he's absolutely unbelievable. Yep. He's like a perfect 2022 defenseman. Handsome. He's like my boy Miro Heiskanen.
He's your Canadian. He's Canadian. He's like your Canadian Miro Heiskanen.
That's right. That's exactly what he is. Better looking too.
So handsome.
As I'm sure you know. What else? Oh yeah, it's Jesper Bratt going to like win the Art Ross? I know he's a guy you really like.
Wait. He's killing it, right?
He has 15 points in 9 games.
Did you see Palat's out?
I did, yeah, for a long time. Apparently he, I think this is just, I'm not sure if this is confirmed, but apparently he tore his groin.
He's pulled his groin on a sex swing.
But apparently he actually like tore it from the bone, which means he might not play for a very long time.
I'm telling you, those sex swings.
Yeah, they get you. Well, I mean, you did just come back from Montreal, so I'm sure you've got some fresh experience.
You know it.
I don't know what else to talk about. It's been an interesting season, but it's more just been a weird season. I will say that the Colorado Avalanche have the exact same record as the Toronto Maple Leafs. For people who are panicking.
And I saw the same thing. It's like the other night I saw that Tampa Bay was like 5-4 and.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is they just won, so yeah, they were 5-4. They're now 6-4, so it's not that different. So it's a little bit better, but it's not that different.
Well, that's the problem is
the Avalanche have the exact same record.
We get it. We're 10 games in.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to like say that we're not.
No.
But it's just, I don't know, the way they're playing, I'm watching the games.
A big part of it is that the teams that they're losing to are teams who were either the worst teams in the league last year or to teams who are currently the worst teams in the league right now. Because the Sharks, Coyotes, and Ducks, I mean, they have, let me just do a little bit of, they have 7 wins combined and 3 of them are against the Leafs. So half of the games that those 3 teams have won is against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that's part of what makes you feel bad. Losing to Vegas is no big deal, right? Like if they had just lost to Vegas, I'd be like, whatever. Vegas are 9-2.
Yeah, Vegas doesn't bother me. I mean, even like LA's not LA's great, good. But they're like, you know, they're on the up and up.
Yeah.
It was the Anaheim game.
Yeah.
It was the Arizona game. It was the San Jose overtime loss.
Yeah. 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 It was also the fact, like, and people are going to say that they got points in 2 of those games, but it was also the fact that they like had to fight back super hard just to get points.
Dude.
Even the Coyotes won. They had to fight back to force overtime. They just got
Anaheim, spurred. They were up 3-1.
Yeah.
They were winning 3-1.
And Anaheim, they were lucky to go to overtime.
Exactly. It's
actually the opposite of Arizona. Arizona, I thought they were very unlucky that that was called a hand pass. Anaheim. I actually think that was an incorrect call. I also think that the goaltender interference call in the Anaheim game was fucking crazy. That's a goal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Anaheim's happy about it because it meant that Trevor Zegras got to score a sick overtime winner.
And I love Trevor Zegras.
He's awesome. He's so fun to watch.
So handsome.
It's actually a shame that we only get to watch him like once a year. I mean, yeah. I guess I can watch Anaheim games by choice, but like why?
No. You don't want to self-inflict harm like that.
Yeah. They only play good against the Leafs, so. They only have 2 wins this year. I don't even know who the other one's against, but
you know who it's against?
Who?
No, never mind. That's I don't know.
I can look it up right now.
Sorry, I know San Jose beat the Rangers.
Oh my god, that's really funny.
San Jose has like 2 or 3 wins.
They beat Seattle in overtime, so they actually have 0 regulation wins this year.
Okay.
The Anaheim Ducks. And Jamie Drysdale's out for the whole year with a torn labrum, which as someone who's just recovering from a nice shoulder surgery of my own.
What's a torn labrum?
It's this part of your shoulder.
Well,
I'm gesturing to you.
Is it fitting that you're wearing a duck shirt right now? It might be your fault.
I thought I'd rep a good team.
Yeah,
Yeah.
You don't know this, but I'm wearing Leafs. I'm wearing a Leafs banana hammock right now.
I was like, how long is it going to take you to think of the word underwear? But you were shooting for the stars.
I was going very specific.
Yeah, I appreciate that about you. All right, let's call this a podcast before you talk about your banana hammock anymore. You want to sing us out, buddy?
All right. It's Up to the Miners podcast. I miss Beckwith.